Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me. It's the new day for a new month and a brand new show. I'm Michelle Martin. We're so excited to bring you Money and Me right here on Money FM 89.3. The show for the money savvy amongst you out there. We want to help you grow your savings. We want to help you make those smart investments and spot the latest trends out there on the stock market. In just a while, we're going to be talking about long-term investing. Kelvin Sito of 10X Capital, my guest today. Kelvin's very excited because today is July the 1st. And it's the first day of some great deals and discounts. Is that true, Kelvin?
From July 1st to August 31, that's like SAF Day. So there's over 200 merchants that will actually be giving massive discounts for NS-serving men.
Oh my God. So if you're an NS-serving man, then you have 1 week to enjoy these discounts that range from coffee to all sorts of things, right?
Correct. So let's say you want to go for the Kallang Ice World entrance. Let's say Levi's jeans. Let's say Coffee Bean. You can 50% discount off regular drinks. So there's a lot of things, and you can just Google it, and there's a list of promotions that is, you know, it's for you to take advantage of.
He's a man that I turn to when I want to make good use of my money. So what are you looking forward to spending on?
Yesterday, I was actually looking through some of the promotions. There are categories like dining, like travel. Mm-hmm. So I think for dining, it's more like some restaurants that I saw. But what I really love to drink is Coffee Bean. Yeah. So I'll definitely be using their 50% discount off their regular ice blended drink.
Oh my goodness. I know where I'm heading to after this. I just have to find myself a nice NS man to buy me a coffee. Kelvin Sito is also co-author of Expand Your Circle of Competence. I love speaking with Kelvin here on Money and Me. You're kickstarting our very first episode, Kelvin, and we're talking about long-term investing. First, let's give listeners a bit of background. You're such a young man, less than 25, right?
Correct. And I'm right now 27.
Oh, 27.
Yeah.
Okay, but you were financially independent from?
Actually, last year.
Last year, 26, imagine that. So when you started investing, what motivated you?
You see, it was very interesting because back then, in the earlier days, in the army days, you know, after our training, we were actually very exhausted and we are supposed to sleep by 7 hours, you know. And what happened was that my bunkmate that was sleeping right across me, you know, he was being caught for reading a book. As a result, you know, past the sleeping hours, all of us got punished really badly, jumping jack, push-up, stuff like that. And, you know, and the next day, all of my friends actually scolded my friend, you know, why are you reading an investment book when you're supposed to sleep? But for me, I approached him and I asked him, you know, Dave, you know, what got you so interested about this investment book that even though you're tired, you're reading it? And he shared with me one truth, is that if you don't learn how to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die. And for me, he shared that, you know, for the last 2 years, he had been already starting to learn how to invest, learn how to multiply his wealth instead of putting his money just in the bank. And that got me so curious. And, you know, I started investing because of him, his influence. And as a result, you know, the last, I think, 6 to 7 years of investing has been always been proven to be profitable. So I always say that, you know, you have to learn investing properly, and there's definitely a way to make money from the stock market.
That's a wonderful story. And your friend is still impacting through that story many, many people out there who are tuning in. And that's the whole point of Money and Me, actually. We want you to learn to make good use of your money, even while you're commuting. You might be in the car, you might be on the MRT, but if you listen to us from 10:10 every weekday morning, you're going to pick up some great tips. You're going to learn how to make your money work for you while you sleep. Okay, Kelvin, when you started, clearly when you were 18, but what is the best time to start investing?
You know, I'm going to flip this question around. So, okay, I'm going to ask you, Michelle, yeah, let's say if someone were to give you $1 million now or $1 million in the future, do you want it now or in the future?
I can't wait. So give it to me now.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because if you have $1 million now, probably you can take the money, you invest in something, and the money would have grown maybe a few percentage, right? Like, let's say you have $1 million now, it could grow to 10%, 20% in the next few years. So using the analogy, right? So I don't have $1 million in my bank account right now, but, you know, for people who have $1,000 in the bank account, even $500, you just have to ask yourself this question, right? Is the money working hard for you? You know, are you happy with just collecting the interest income from the bank? You know, if it's not, then you probably need to find a way to learn how to make the money work hard for you. And one of the best way, I feel, is really investing. But when we talk about investing, just, you know, I would just advise to learn how to invest properly before going into it. So to cut it short, I think really start now, you know, today, listen to Money FM, Google, read some books on investing and just get your journey started.
July 1st, okay? Make a date with us. Today is the day we all start investing. Now, let's talk about long-term stocks. You used to be a day trader, right? But why do you say we should hold on to stocks long-term?
Well, I think it's a very interesting story. I've been trained to model after fantastic investors who have done very, very well, like 20 years, 30 years time frame period. And what I realized something is that at the end of the day, there's a very strong relationship between the earnings of the company and the share price. So what do I mean by that? If the earnings are growing, very likely the share price of the company would also increase. So that is actually a relationship that's established for the last 20 to 30 years in the stock market. But unfortunately, if let's say someone were to invest based on a short-term framework, in the short term, I would say the stock market is filled with a lot of greed, a lot of fear, and that causes distortion. You know, sometimes even though the earnings of the business is growing, the share price may drop temporarily, right? And let's say if we really want to look at stocks in a short-term basis and you ask yourself this question, right? How can I make 10%, 20% in the stock market in the short-term period? I would say that that is something that's not very easily done because companies only report results every quarterly, maybe it's every 3 months. So you need the companies to report the results to show increased earnings and the share price will increase. But if you're looking at a short-term period, you're not giving time for the business to show its results. Hence, I think, you know, investing long-term would definitely be more beneficial because you're giving time for the business to show its growth numbers.
Kelvin, when it comes to when people should hold on to stocks, how long they need to hold on to stocks, they often wonder, okay, what do I have to think about there? And then when they should pick up the stock itself is something people think about. So let's talk about timing. How long you should hold on to stocks and when you should pick up stocks.
So I'll just talk about the second part first. So, you know, we talk about the entry points, right? Like when's a good time for us to actually buy a stock?
Yep.
So I think after speaking to many investors, I find that most of the time investors actually sabotage themselves. So what I mean by that? So if let's say, you know, this company is really cheap, is undervalued, and today the share price is $29.20, for instance, right?
Mm.
And in your mind, you tell yourself, hey, I would only want to buy this stock at only $29. Okay, so if the stock doesn't hit $29, I would never buy it. So that's the mentality that a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
And very often is that 20 cents difference will not make huge difference in the future if this business is going to grow, for instance, to $100. So at the end of the day, I think when it comes to timing the market, it's something that is not easily done. I mean, sometimes you could do technical analysis here and there.
Oh, those candlesticks, my favorite things.
Exactly. But, you know, you talk about a 20 cents difference. For me, I will not be so stringent. I would say, hey, if I know this company is going to grow for a long time to come, perhaps 5 years, 10 years, you know, this 20 cents now will not make a difference. Mm. My aim will be telling myself, hey, if this company is undervalued at this point right now, I would actually go straight away to buy the stock instead of saying, hey, I only want to buy at $29, for instance. So if it doesn't hit 29 and the company, you know, all of a sudden start to appreciate and then I just miss the opportunity altogether. So for me, I think instead of timing the market, which is something that's very hard to do, I would rather spend my time understanding the company and understanding whether it will grow for a long time to come.
Yeah, it's human nature to watch the pot boil though and think, is this as hot as it going to get? But can you illustrate what you just talked about with a real life example?
Well, I would say that a lot of times, for instance, you know, previously I was looking at Disney. So it was actually a very painful lesson for myself. I look at it, you know, back then I was trading at $100 mm-hmm. and I think the business is fantastic. You know, all of us watchers, Avengers, we love Marvel movies. All of us would go to Disneyland at some point of our time. So their business itself is good. You know, it's growing itself really well. And I can foresee that this business will grow for a long time to come. So I back then I was thinking that, hey, I will only buy this stock when it hits $95. I was just being so strict about it, right? And eventually it did not hit $95 and I did not buy it at all. But, you know, in the recent months, Disney actually announced that they are creating this streaming service called the Disney Plus. So whereby you can get all the past Disney movies available on the subscription service. And that itself actually increased the earnings of Disney. And since then, you know, guess what? This is so sad to talk about it, but Disney have gone up to more than $130.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so sometimes I feel that if a business is sound, is undervalued, and you know that it's a good company, that feel this sense of difference would not make a huge difference. You know, just look at it, right? I've missed out 30% in gain because I'm just trying to save in that a few percentage points.
Because when a behemoth moves, that's big movement you can look forward to. Tell me about another real life example. A guy in the postal service earned $14,000 a year, but managed to die with $70 million in his bank account.
Yeah, so I actually got to know about this story by reading a book by Tony Robbins. He's a motivational speaker. So what I realized is that Mrs. Johnson, she was in a middle-class family. He worked in UPS, that's a logistics delivery company, as a vice president for industrial relations. And the unique thing was that, right, back then he was earning about $14,000. And if you look at today's value, it's probably slightly above, I think, $100,000 on a yearly basis. But what was interesting is this, right? He actually decided to tax himself voluntarily. So what I mean by that, you know, he took 20% of his salary every month and he started to invest in his company's stock, UPS, right? And he did that every single month. And what was interesting is that every single month he kept doing that until he retired in, I think, 1952. Mm-hmm. So that was a long time already. And, you know, since then he held on the stock. Between 1952 to 1991, UPS as a company have grown by 15% on a yearly average. So what he had was something small, but because of investing in a company such as UPS that was growing tremendously, his wealth actually grew to maybe $70 million right now.
I love that story. Can you share with us a present-day company, maybe a prominent company that you think earnings, we can possibly see earnings there?
I would actually talk about a company that I think a lot of us are very familiar with. So right now in this world that we are seeing, I think there's this trend where we are going from cash to cashless, right? So two companies that I would see benefiting from it is actually Visa and also Master. Just imagine, right, if you swipe your card or you tap your card for any transaction, right, Visa takes 2 to 3% cut out of it, right? And the fact is that more and more of the world is going to the cashless transaction basis, and more of us will actually start using Visa or Master services. Hence, you know, if you look at long-term growth trajectory, I think Visa and Master will still have a long way to go.
I love that piece of advice. Okay, Kelvin, finally, any sectors you can share that we start looking into our would-be investor listeners right now?
Well, actually, one of the sectors that I'm really focused in, and also my team, all of us, we are looking into it, is the software industries. So just give you an example, right? Think about it, you know, for a business like a property developer, if they want to sell a product, right, such as a condominium or building, right, they really have to go out there to buy the land, to construct the land, and finally to sell it. So this whole process is very long and very expensive. But if you look at software companies such as Microsoft, such as Adobe, if today, you know, I still remember when I bought my Microsoft 365 Office from Microsoft, I download over from the internet. And from Microsoft perspective is that for them to deliver a product, you know, it doesn't cost them a single dollar. The cost to distribute or to create this product is nearly zero, right? Mm. And not only that, in the past, Microsoft used to be charging a perpetual license. That means it's a one-off fee. But right now, it has changed to reoccurring. And I really like software industries because most of the time, when they receive the money, it's reoccurring and it's very stable. And this is why I actually love software industries a lot. And I think that software is going to grow for many years to come. Very, very reoccurring revenues. If you look at a service that we use, it's called Spotify. That's a music service. It happened to be a listed company as well. Mm. And its revenue is always reoccurring. It's very stable. And, you know, even if today they have an additional customer that's subscribed to their service, they don't really have to incur any cost. Whereas you look at a property developer, if they want to develop a new property, they need to buy a land, they need to incur the expenses, and they need to deliver it. So it's very two different businesses, and that's why software are actually more scalable.
My guest today in Money and Me, Kelvin Sito. Thank you so much, Kelvin.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.